It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It feels like years.
Without the podcast, I literally have no reason to ever call you or text you.
The weird thing is that while we were doing the podcast, all I talked to you about outside the podcast was the podcast. So it's like all the prep work we did in our friendship led to the podcast. Yeah. And then afterwards it was immediately erased.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like this podcast is the culmination of our years and years of friendship.
It's probably the best thing that you and I have done together or separately.
I think this is our peak. We're never going to get better. We're never going to get funnier.
Oh, that's for sure.
Our friendship will never be tighter than this podcast.
Yes. But, and this is not a tight podcast, so.
No. But when this podcast dies, so will our friendship, sadly.
That's true. So I'm glad that we're back for what I'm going to call season two.
Season two, episode 31.
Yes.
Or one.
Yes. So it's a season premiere, right?
Should we call this season two, episode one?
I kind of like that. It gives more like gravitas.
Your computer exploded, and so that delayed our return
to
the podcast.
So we promised the listeners that we were going to be gone for 1 month, and I don't know how long it's been.
I've lost track of time. What year is it?
Yeah.
It's a Jumanji joke. Jumanji.
Anyway. So, yes, the problem was that we were all ready to go, and like, I think the day of, or the day before we were going to record, I was opening up my computer after taking a lift home, and it had exploded. So, I don't know what happened.
I think it was the day of.
Yeah, I think it was the day of. I was like, oh, sweet, gonna plug in this microphone again, dust off the old podcast boots, and it had exploded. I don't know what happened. It was fine. I closed it. I put it in a case. I put the case in the laptop bag, put it on my back, got in a lift, put it on the seat of the lift, got out, got home. Screen was cracked. $475.
Woo!
Yeah.
Whoa.
So that was not a fun. And then a couple days later, my bike got stolen. So it's not been a good couple of days for
just
for
a real kick him while he's down kind of situation.
So
boom.
What I don't remember,
what are we talking
is
about?
Who does the intro.
Oh.
I talk about what it is, right? And then you do the intro.
I used to do the intro, but then you wanted to do the intro because I do the outro.
I'm very vain. Okay, welcome to Total Immersion. This is season two of a podcast in which we immerse ourselves in subcultures.
Yes.
And to learn that we don't know anything about anything. Today, we're going to be talking about doomsday preppers.
And introduce yourself.
And my name is Tom Craig, and I'm your host.
And my name is Ryland Sedevi, and I'm your also host. So, what are we talking about?
We're talking about doomsday preppers. What do you think they are?
So, a doomsday prepper, it's like the extreme version of couponing, right? Where like they hoard a bunch of coupons and they go to the grocery store and it takes them like 2.5 hours to check out because they have like 1,000
Brussels
coupons to get a sweet deal on some Brussels sprouts. Let me tell you. So that's what doomsday preppers are, is couponers to the extreme.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, you're fired.
But it's only season two. I thought we got renewed for a whole nother season.
Oh, fuck. Okay. God, I get to do 29 more episodes with you? Jesus.
Well, you still got to finish this one. You got 29 and 5/6 of an episode to record.
Okay, fair. Okay, so no. So doomsday prepping is all about preparing for some impending disaster, which could be any number of things.
Okay, so zombie outbreak,
sure,
nuclear holocaust.
And it can be really small, too, right? It's like, nuclear holocaust? What is that? Is that where we, like, subjugate all the nuclears?
Yeah, it's where you know, you put all the nuclears in internment camps and
ooh, let's
and
steer away from that joke real quick. So the possible scenarios can be very small to very large, right? So something as simple as a power outage. Or a natural disaster, fire, earthquake, flood, a drought.
Tornado, sure,
you know,
got it. Yeah.
You live in SoCal and I live in NorCal, so we hear about the big one all the time. That big earthquake that could happen like in 5 minutes or 5 million years. No one knows.
The big one also refers to, it's like one of those eating challenges at a restaurant. If you go to any In-N-Out and you ask for the big one, they have to triple confirm and bring out the manager if you really want the big one.
Yeah, I'd like the big one. I've been preparing for 3 months.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna make note of that. But I need to record you, and I need you to sign this contract, releasing us of any liability if you suffer a heart attack on the spot.
Right. Is right. Okay. Okay. Initial here. Yeah.
Initial cool. right here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. initial here. Okay. Uh-huh. And one okay. more here. And
also, just so
Jesus.
Natural disasters, other things like economic collapse, political collapse, something called an EMP attack or an EMP event.
And that electromagnetic pulse?
Yes.
Which fucking nailed it.
Would be like
it's what happens when a nuke goes off. There's also a burst of EMP, right?
Yes.
That basically disables all electronics within a radius.
Right.
Like and fries a circuit board.
Yeah,
right?
It's. I think it could also be like a nuclear power plant goes to shit. Could also cause one of those.
So any kind of nuclear fusion disaster,
intentional
or accidental.
Yes. And the other category that I heard of was called an acronym, which is TEOTWAWKI.
Teotwawki,
which just stands for the end of the world as we know it.
Oh, okay.
Which
Teotwawki, yeah.
is, you know, as we know, Teotwawki is in the lexicon normally, but no one really knows what it means. You know, it's like snafu. It's one of those things that people throw around, you know.
What is a snafu? Is that like some dog toy that you're throwing around? How do people throw around a what is it? Swafu?
Snafu. Swahili?
Snafu?
No. Situation now all fucked up.
Oh, I actually had no idea what that stood for.
Yeah, that's what that is.
So if we have a Teotwawki, not a Twatki, that's a totally different thing.
Twatki's is also one of my favorite artists. He's got a lot of good rhymes.
Oh, really? I haven't heard of him, actually.
Yeah, Twatki's.
I need to look him up. Twatki's?
Yeah, he works with Talib Kweli sometimes.
Nice. Good fucking reference. Okay. How do you prep for the end of the world?
There are three main categories for preparing.
Okay.
You've got just enough. I would say I'm in the just enough category right now because I have a backpack under my bed that just has like, you know, extra clothes, a radio, something to charge my phone with.
No fucking way. Are you serious?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Don't you have like a bag of some sort? Like a...
No.
Dude, we live in California. You're supposed to have like an earthquake kit. You know, it's like, what if your house is going to collapse and you won't have anywhere to go for a few nights? So you have to have a bag that you can grab.
I don't have that. I am not prepared.
You're not prepared?
There needs to be a fourth category for not prepared.
Okay, so the categories are number one, Rylan. Number two is just enough. So I feel like I'm in the just enough category because...
You have literally just enough to survive for like a few days.
Yeah, I have probably like, I would say maybe $100 or $200 worth of stuff. So, you know, I've got like all that stuff so that if my house burns down and I need to like... sleep in a hotel for 2 days, I can comfortably do that, right? So that's category one. Category two would be ready for almost anything. So that would be like, maybe you have...
First of all, ready for almost anything would be a great podcast just on its own. readyforalmostanything.podcast.com.
Actually, Ready for Almost Anything is my favorite mixtape by Twatki's.
By Twatki's? Yeah. Oh, no, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Actually, like, I didn't know Twatki's did that. Yeah, I've heard Ready for Almost Anything.
Yeah, he's got like a lot of like really good political stuff in there. You know, it's like the world is going to shit, but it's still like really upbeat. That's why Twatki's is like so unique, you know?
Yeah, he's a little outsider. Like, you know, outsiders can kind of like get into him and like feel a connection, but like it's still upbeat, you know? It's real, you know? It's very real. So then he's got a... Does he have any more albums or what are the other categories?
Yeah, the last category
here?
And also the latest single by Twatki's is See You When the Dust Settles. See You When the Dust Settles.
I mean, what is... Are we in a Western?
And then you ride away on your motorcycle.
On your horse.
Right, yes. So the Ready for Almost Anything, which is like mid-range, right? So that would be like... It could be that maybe you have a basement and you've got like a lot of... canned food down there, right? Maybe you have like one of those straws that you can drink and it purifies the water, right? So you'd probably be set for like a week or so, right? So you've got like canned food, ability to get water, maybe like solar panel, that kind of stuff. So like if you don't have access to the things that you would now, if you don't have access to everything for like a week to a month, I'd say, then you're pretty much set, right? But, you know, if this is like post-apocalyptic Mad Max world, that's not going to cover you, right?
Well, no, because as we know, then you have the war parties and, you know, mm-hmm. Witness Me and all that stuff.
Sweet, sweet reference. I'm sure people will get that. So the last...
Twatke also played... there was a great cameo of Twatke the DJ.
Yeah.
In Mad Max Fury Road. I don't know if you
no
caught
way.
It. But
was he there?
Yeah, on one of those trucks in the war party.
Oh, he was on one of the rigs?
Yeah, you know how they had that guy with the flaming guitar?
Right.
He was actually, sad to say, he was cut out. It's in the director's cut only, but if you watch the director's cut, there's another car with Twatke's DJ rig on it.
Oh, that's fucking dope, dude. Is it like in the last Tron movie where they have Daft Punk and they like cut to Daft Punk for a second and you're like, I know they did... like the soundtrack, but it seems like a little weird that they're in the movie too for like 1 second, just so that
It was a bit heavy-handed, which I think is why it came out and was only in the director's cut.
Right.
I think they legally had to be in a cut of the movie.
It's like, look, we all know Twatke's is rad, and we know that like this is a sick Twatke beat that we're hearing, but like, do you really have to like, you know, put him in our face like that?
He's real close to selling out. I just don't want to see...
That's the thing, right? Like, I've always thought that Twatke's has never sold out. And he's gained so much popularity, but he's, like, still so down to earth. And when he did that, I was like, you're killing me, man.
I know, man. Yeah. I just don't want to see him go the way of David Guetta, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, it was a pretty good cameo in the movie.
Okay, I'll have to watch that. So, the last category, which is See You When the Dust Settles... Also, I guess you could call it Hasta La Vista, motherfucker, would be basically, as opposed to Ready for Almost Anything, you're ready for everything, right? So it's like, you have a way to farm animals, right? You have a way to grow crops. When shit goes down and like all of the technology, healthcare, economics, and all that shit that we rely on today doesn't exist, you'll basically be able to survive like in Walking Dead land.
Wow.
Where you're just like on a farm or something like that, just surviving the way we did a couple hundred years ago. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got no joke about that. That sounds, you know, pretty legit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, at the risk of annoying or angering any of the preppers who are at the third level of See You When the Dust Settles, because, you know, I'm clearly not prepared. So I need to rely on the people who are prepared and befriend them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to make fun of them because I need to survive too. And the way I'm going to do that is through my wits and my charm.
Okay, you're dead.
Oh.
This is a thought experiment. You're dead.
It's not even 0 hour yet. The event hasn't actually happened.
Do you have a bag? Something called a bug out bag, which is all the stuff that you would need, like a go bag. Do you have one of those?
I have a backpack with like, oh.
Do you have something called MRE, which is a meal ready to eat?
I mean, I've got some like frozen. I've got some frozen stuff in the fridge, and like
you're dead. Do you have any guns?
I mean,
super
I have
dead.
I'm just swinging and missing over here.
Unless you have, I mean, like a lot of wit and charm. You know, I'm talking like, you know, like that time that Twatke was in like the. The Goldeneye movie, and you're like, what?
He's
not even a DJ yet. Like, I didn't know, like, he's not even like a credited extra, but you like see Twatke and he's like in Goldeneye,
the golden Twatke, man.
Yeah, like the amount of like charisma that he had there, like if you have that level of charisma,
right,
then you're set. But if you have anything under that,
that was actually his breakout hit, was the song in the background of the Goldeneye movie.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even know, right? There's
not the main theme.
You know, and as the legend goes, like, they just had someone, person didn't come. They're like, oh, man, like, somebody in Warner Brothers went out to the parking lot. He's like, oh, man, I need someone. Does anyone know music? And Twatke got out of his Honda Civic 1999, and he was like, I mean, I have a MIDI thing. And they're like, get in here, man. You know, and then, like, he just... fucking killed it. And from that point forward, he's like, yeah, I got a record deal from that, you know, and like, it's been a rocket of success for Twatke since that.
He's ridden that twat rocket all the way to the top, baby.
Yeah, twat rocket, also favorite single by him. Controversial, I know. A lot of people think it's like a kind of degrading towards women, but you know, you got to get past
that. You know
that.
What? It's actually really empowering when you really listen
Thank
to the lyrics.
You. Thank you.
The lyrics are only the words twat and rocket over and over again.
Yeah.
But just the meaning and the feeling behind it, it's very empowering.
And the way the way he sampled the adult film, like noises and like the moans of pleasure from all the porn actresses, like people think it's like a little crass and lazy, but he put a lot of work into that, you know. And I think Twat Rocket honestly is my favorite song maybe ever, but definitely by him.
Maybe ever.
Yeah, I listen to Twat Rocket when I'm like going up for a job interview, you know. It's like, yes,
it's like your hype up music.
I am the twat rocket, you know. Yeah,
I am the twat rocket. I will nail this interview. I'm gonna run further than I've run before.
Exactly.
This is gonna be the best first date I've ever had. I am the twat rocket.
Thank you. Yes. Also, I'm working on a biography actually of Twatky called "I Am the Twat Rocket."
I mean, I'd read it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Does he have any motive? Has he done a TED Talk yet?
You know, I don't think he has. I think people want him to.
A Twatky TED Talk?
I wish he would.
He doesn't. So he doesn't have a podcast. The Twatcast.
No, he's very elusive.
Wait, no one's seen his face, right?
Except, it's kind of like a Banksy thing, you know? It's like, I could tell you right now that I'm Twatky, and you'd be like, yeah, sure. But
Yeah.
So those are your three categories.
What are we talking about?
Those are your three categories, right? It's like just enough, couple days, ready for almost anything. Good to go for a little while and then see you when the dust settles. You know,
basically the difference between those is how long you can survive, but also how much time and money you've invested into surviving, right?
Like, yes.
Just enough. You said it yourself, you've spent $200 on a bag as just enough to survive for a few days. Mm-hmm. Whereas the second level, ready for almost anything, there's a lot more preparation. You have to probably have some kind of basement or storage of some kind. Mm-hmm. You're buying foods and you're sort of keeping everything together and you know, keeping everything sort of up to date, you know, on in terms of like spoiled foods or like sleeping bags and shit, you know. And then see when the dust settles, like if you're on a farm and you're at the level of see when the dust settles, you have to fucking maintain that farm all the time. It's not something you can just start up
right
now. You know, like there's constant maintenance on some
I think
of this
it's
stuff
definitely
a,
a mindset, right? Like it's something that you are embodying and thinking about, and it kind of frames the way you think about the world, right? It's like, okay,
everything as survival. Mm-hmm.
And that I found really interesting. I did some research on websites, including thehomeforsurvival.com.
The Home for Survival. Mm-hmm. Is this a home I can purchase?
No, it's more of like a home. It's like the royal home, you know. It's like
a homepage.
Home. Yes, sure. Like the internet.
Okay.
Prepperresources.com.
Okay, that's obvious. Yeah, okay, great.
Backdoorsurvival.com. SHTFplan.com. Yes.
Are they just trying to...
Shitf is also an acronym for shit hits the fan.
Oh, shit, of course. Yeah, shit hits the fan.
So, like the bag that I was talking about, like your go bag, that's referred to as a bug out bag and also as a shit hits the fan bag. So it's like, fuck, shit just hit the fan, grab the bag and get out of here.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, bug out bag, I've heard that term before. And that's, you know, in case you got to bug out, you got to get the fuck out of there. Wherever you are, you got to get out.
I heard the terms bug out and bug in.
Bug out and bug in was a great, it was like, Twatky went off and he did like this side project with Deadmau5 before Deadmau5 got big and they called it Bug Out and Bug In. They played a few shows. It was all local. It was all like unannounced. Deadmau5 did not wear his hat.
Oh,
so,
what?
Theoretically,
was he really Deadmau5 then?
He was the artist also known as Deadmau5.
Right.
But it currently was Bug Out and Bug In.
Damn.
And no one knew who Twatky was either. So it was like a double secret agent thing.
Wow.
So what goes into a bug out bag?
Cool.
Like, if I'm a prepper. Let's assume I'm not totally unprepared.
Yes. Let's assume you're at least category two, which is like, you know, I'm ready for almost anything.
What do I need?
Well, what do you think you would need?
Well, some kind of toiletries, right? Some way to clean my teeth and my mouth. Some kind of soap just to not be grimy. So I got to have something to wipe the buttocks. I would be concerned about staying warm if it got cold. So something to stay warm with, whether that be a jacket or like a sleeping bag or like one of the, like a poncho kind of like, oh, puffy jacket. Yeah, puffy jacket. Mm-hmm. because those compress down real hard. Mm-hmm. You also got to have some kind of communication, so radio.
Yes.
You got to have light. So flashlight, maybe some matches, some way to start a fire.
Okay. Yeah, I dig it.
First aid kit's always good to have.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
So
anything else? I mean, oh, water, of course.
Yes,
some way to
water.
Have water.
Yeah. So yeah, you're doing well so far, right? Water, okay. Food, something like an MRE, right? Meals ready to
okay.
eat. So
right.
like
that's that shit the army has, right? That's like really disgusting.
Right. So you could call it like, yeah. you know, rations, right? Like for
right.
example,
oh, okay.
I have a couple Clif bars in my backpack, right?
How long do those keep?
I don't know the expiration on those. I'll have to ask. Because
you're probably growing like a pomegranate tree under
I'll have
your
to ask
right
Cliff when I see him next, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ask Cliff. Yeah.
Last.
Well, next time you go to a Twatki concert, Cliff, you'll see Cliff. So.
Oh, is he a fan?
Oh, yeah, dude. He was a day one fan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, talk to Cliff about some old Twatki stories. He's got some stories for you, man.
That does explain why Twatki was promoting Cliff bars, and they had like the promotional Twatki flavored Cliff bar.
Now you're putting it together.
Yeah.
It was called, yeah.
It tasted really weird.
It was like twat and chips.
Yeah, yeah,
mint
yeah,
chocolate
yeah.
twat.
Mint chocolate. Yeah, that's what it was. Mint chocolate twat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Twat and chunks.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. Yeah, so...
No.
So yeah, you got your food, you got your water. So things like batteries, right? Like I have a battery for charging my phone.
Right.
Flashlight.
Okay.
Radio.
Question.
Yeah.
Why are you charging your phone if the world's gone to shit?
Well,
like, wouldn't phone service be one of the first things to go?
Sure, but I'm talking about like this is like a general
just your
list.
House
so this
collapsed.
This could be like for a category one, like, you know, couple day versus
right
several weeks, right? So you're
okay.
gonna want to have a battery like if you know your house burns down and
right
you need to charge
you're,
your phone for one or two
out.
Nights
right.
right yeah
I get it. Or you have a catastrophic infestation of termites.
Exactly. Yes.
And you have to get out in a matter of minutes before
mm-hmm.
your house gets eaten alive.
Yes.
Eaten alive. Yeah. Houses are alive.
They're alive when you're inside them.
Are you the brain? You're the conscious of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You're like in your head, you know, when you hear that, you're like inner monologue. That's what you are now when you're talking to your, you know, your smart home
mm-hmm,
device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say the trigger word because that'll piss people off.
Alexa. Okay, Google. Hey, Siri. I just want to get them all. Was that all of them? Did I get them all?
There's Hey Bigsby for Samsung.
That's not a thing.
It absolutely is a thing.
What?
And the reason, yes, the fact you've never heard of it is exactly why it's the shittiest one.
That is so stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey,
yeah.
Bigsby, what is it? Bigsby Bear?
Hey, Bigsby, what time is it?
Jesus.
Hey, Siri, what time is it?
Okay, Google, email Tom Craig. I love you.
So anyway, Cliff Bars, that counts as an MRE?
Yeah, that's an MRE. Other things like prescription medication. If you take
oh,
meds
yeah.
every day, you're going to want to have like stockpiled some amount
of
those.
How do you do that? Because that expires.
It does, but I think it would be like food, right? You just kind of
cycle it out.
So that's all of the boring stuff. Let's get into guns. It was interesting reading about this because I saw definitely a crossover between gun enthusiasts and these types of doomsday preppers. I think it does make sense that when you are preparing for, you know, category three, shit has hit the fan real hard, economic collapse,
right.
you know, banks are gone, like all that kind of stuff. Like we're talking Mad Max, we're talking Hunger Games, whatever. Having guns and like an ammo and some way to defend yourself, I think does make sense, right?
Sure. I mean, I get it in that regard. But if you've got shit that all of a sudden becomes so valuable because it means you survive and other people don't,
mm-hmm.
you are going to have to defend that. It's going to be dog eat dog world. You know?
Yeah. And also just defending your loved ones, right? Like your friends and family
right.
from people who want to attack you, take your stuff, whatever it is. Right. So I saw a lot
yeah.
of discussions on here about types of guns and what guns are good to have in these types of situations. I don't really read about that stuff because I don't know anything about guns. I've never held a gun. I never shot a gun. I've never done it. I have no idea what that's like. So
again, going back to me being a prepper.
Yes, you're a prepper.
What am I arming myself with?
You're probably gonna want to get an AR-15.
So that's the one that's all over the media right now.
The AR-15,
that's the controversial one, right?
Is probably second only to the AK-47 in terms of like popularity and recognition.
Notoriety.
Yeah, notoriety. Yeah. So this is a quote I got from some of these message boards. The AR-15 is relatively affordable, with base models starting out in the $600 range. Most mid-level rifles are going for $1,000 in upper end, custom models easily eclipsing $3,000.
Wow.
We currently live in a world of airport pat-downs, forced healthcare, mandatory vaccinations, unauthorized surveillance on our whereabouts and our communications. If many politicians have their way, we'll soon lose our right to bear arms and defend ourselves as well. So,
okay. That took a very political turn.
Yeah, so you're kind of seeing what I picked up on while I was reading that, right?
See, this is, I was hoping it wouldn't be this way, but it sounds like this is a very small sliver of a political spectrum that is into this stuff. Just because if you're into this stuff, you sort of have to rationalize and defend yourself in certain ways, because
right.
it means you want guns and you want a lot of them. And that's seen as not safe by most other people on that political spectrum. So was this a common thread, or is this mostly just when people started talking about guns, they would just sort of fall into talking about the right to bear arms?
I didn't see it everywhere, but I think it seemed prevalent in terms of the mentality of the people discussing these things, right? And
okay.
I think that I'm very averse to guns. Like, I don't do a lot of research there or...
Right.
You know, any of that. But this is probably the closest I've come to understanding why people take the Second Amendment so seriously. If you are afraid of the systems that control our lives completely dismantling, and the only way you can really defend yourself is physically, then
right.
relying on a firearm does make sense, right? I think the only reason
yeah.
that I don't really have a desire to have a gun is that I have so much trust in the systems that govern our lives. And so it makes sense to me that people would put a lot of thought into this, because to them, it's really a way of preparing, you know, and this is all about preparation.
And if they're so committed to preparation, they need a gun. It's a distant possibility that that will happen, but it's a possibility. And if you do want to survive and you are wanting to prepare, you need a way to defend yourself beyond just a knife and a strong bunker.
If these guns exist and are easy to obtain relatively, then you know in this situation that other people are going to have them, right? So
yeah.
it does make sense to think like, well, if I want to defend myself and other people are going to have AR-15s,
yeah.
then I need to have an AR-15 as well, maybe more than one.
Right.
So it was interesting to kind of get a view into that without really like researching it entirely. But the way that I saw this overlapping with the people who are big gun proponents, I found very interesting.
Well, this kind of raises another question, because if you were to be prepared to defend yourself, you have to be pretty fit, right?
Yes.
I don't want this to sound negative, but it'd be very hard to survive in a situation like that where everyone's out to get each other if you're severely overweight, mildly overweight.
Sure.
You know, if you have a strong need to be on very strong prescriptions that will otherwise mean you don't get to live. There's a lot of things we do in our lives now to keep every single life going, no matter the difficulty of that life, which is great for modern society. But in case of that society utterly collapsing, we're going back to like the evolutionary terms of the strongest and the fittest survive.
Totally. Right. And I think
right?
that it was an interesting thought experiment, just your physical person being all you have to go on. So in the long term, you're going to want to know how to do things like farm, right? Like I saw
right.
people talking about these and saying like on the message board, someone was saying, you know, you should know how to grow your own food. You should know how to hunt, split wood, fix a car, stitch a wound, right? All
start
these,
a fire.
Start a fire. All these things that I don't know how to do, right? Because
fuck no.
because that's not part of my everyday life, right?
Right.
I saw something on here. Someone said, which I thought was a little insensitive. They said over 2/3 of the USA is considered overweight. This is shameful at best. It's not just about being physically strong, being able to run 5 miles. It's about not being dependent on medication or machines, right? So
I see the value in all of this. And just like I value my life in case of extreme emergency, I want to know I have the ability to survive. I need to be able to know I'm going to be okay no matter what.
Right.
I get that idea, but to then turn that around and create sort of like a hateful, shaming thing about that, I'm not a fan of that.
I think that it makes sense to think about this stuff and not assume that that's all going to be there. But also, if you assume that it's never going to be there, or you assume that it could fail at any moment, you're kind of living in a paranoid state all the time, right? Like,
right.
You don't want to be blissfully trusting Wells Fargo to handle all your money and assuming that you don't need to be physically fit because you'll always be able to afford food and shelter and all this stuff at any moment, right? And like, you're never going to die, right? You don't want to be on that end of the spectrum, but you also don't want to be hiding gold bars in your floorboards and your toilet bowl either. Let's do a thought experiment. Electromagnetic pulse. Everything that you own that relies on electricity will not work. What would you do? Go.
Number one on my list, do I have water? I have a Brita filter pitcher in my refrigerator right now that's just a charcoal filter, so that will last.
Mm-hmm.
Food, I have some stuff in the fridge now that I can cook and try and preserve to be able to eat for a day or two. Communication is totally dead. I have no way to communicate with anybody. Travel is dead, right? Because my car is dead because it's got a computer in it.
Yep.
So I'm on foot with 2 days worth of food and maybe 3 days worth of water.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Let's assume this is worldwide, right? What about your money?
Oh, I would just assume money's gone.
Money's gone.
Until like government's restored or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Money also doesn't mean anything at that
point. That's the thing, right? Like the money that you have right now kind of already doesn't mean anything. You know, it's like money that you have in a savings account. It's really just like a number.
It's only valuable because I say it's valuable. The bank says it's valuable. Yeah. So if shit's really hit the fan, no one gives a fuck about their fucking bank account anymore, as far as I care.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes barter if you need to trade for anything. But I feel like in that regard, once I'm on the street on foot with food and water, I do know enough people around the area that I live in that I could probably try and meet up with them and at least get like a group of, you know, 3 or 4 of us together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it goes from there.
Uh-huh.
In the conclusion of my thought experiment of if shit goes down right now, if I don't survive the week, I'm probably not going to survive.
I will give you an F for fucked. So I'm probably going to join you in fucked detention because, you know, I got my go bag, I got my bug out bag, but...
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
but how long?
I'll try to meet up with some friends, but how would I even be able to tell them that I'm coming to them and they're not coming to me?
Right.
We live in a world now when I invite somebody over and instead of ringing my doorbell, they use their phone to send a message to space so that it can then return to my phone and tell me that they're outside
from
the door.
Space.
You know, like we would definitely need to have to set up a plan and do all that stuff ahead of time. So.
Wow.
Researching this has definitely inspired me to maybe not go whole hog, but think about this and prepare more than I would, because for me, it's definitely made me think about how we rely on so many things that are just ephemeral promises and non-tangible ideas and concepts that could be taken away in an instant very easily. So do we have any other thoughts on this? I'm scared. Are you scared?
As a final thought, I'm frightened of how not ready I am.
Yes, same.
I am very much not ready for any kind of catastrophe of any magnitude.
If a catastrophe should occur, I think you and I should agree to meet on the podcast. No, podcast won't exist. Fuck.
Wait, can't podcast.
Podcast can't exist. Well, we won't be able to podcast.
Dude, if the apocalypse happens, I may never see you again.
If the apocalypse happens, it could take me years to get to Southern California.
Well, I don't know. Didn't The Rock do it? The Rock did it. Yeah.
What?
In that movie about the earthquake, it was like The Rock and someone else.
Are you talking about the one where he goes to Witch Mountain?
No,
that's the only one I know where the rock moves. Great distances. I guess Jumanji, he kind of moves.
Yeah, he moves around in Jumanji. But no, but the one, so it's the rock, and he's like, he's a helicopter pilot for the Coast Guard or something.
Oh, Baywatch.
And there's a giant earthquake.
2012?
And he has to go from LA to San Francisco to save his daughter.
Moana? His daughter Moana.
Moana, that's
right.
It. Yeah, it's Moana.
Gotcha. Was this Fast and the Furious 17?
If that shit actually went down, you become incredibly localized.
The only
right?
thing is, like, unlike The Rock, you and I are not The Rock.
I mean, I started going to the gym, so I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You're more like Rylan the Pebble set of me for now.
Rylan the Pebble set of me.
Working
I'll
towards
take it.
Boulder.
Wow, from Pebble to Boulder. All right, that's a pretty big jump. I'll take that.
I didn't say it was going to be easy. Please.
Do you have any final thoughts before I wrap this up?
I don't. We're fucked.
Well, what did you guys think? Are we fucked? Are you fucked? Are you ready at all for anything ever? You can let us know whether or not you will survive and any other thoughts you may have on Twitter. I am at Rylan Sedevi.
And I am at TheTomCraig.
And you can use the hashtag ReadyForAlmostAnything.
Nice.
We also take email suggestions at TotalImmersionPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to hear us talk about. You can listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, maybe more, maybe less. But we're there. And if you're listening to this now, then you're fine. So don't worry about it.
But rate us.
But make sure to subscribe. If you haven't already, subscribing means you get us into your phone when a new episode comes out. Which, now that this is a new season, we have to figure out when that will be.
We don't know.
Also, make sure to rate 5 stars. 5 stars actually really does help. It helps us work our way up in the magic algorithm of iTunes and Stitcher and become more discoverable to people who are looking for a new podcast. Word of mouth is probably the best way to spread this podcast. If you enjoy this, if you know of somebody who might enjoy this, just tell them to, you know, just give it a whirl. Just give it a few listens. Mm-hmm. We're charismatic enough to
we get the job done.
We're getting it done.
We wouldn't die immediately.
Right. Give us a week. And then we might be dead.
I guess when all of this goes to shit and Twitter doesn't exist anymore and you can't get the podcast, I guess you could just rate us by shouting 5 stars from the rooftops.
Yes. When society collapses, make sure you still are rating us every week by shouting from the rooftop. You have to say these words. Mm-hmm. Total Immersion Podcast, 5 stars, best podcast I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. What that's going to do is let all your neighbors know that you have terrible taste in podcasts.
Yes.
And are not prepared for the apocalypse.
When the apocalypse comes and all the computers are gone, you're going to have to shout the source code.
Oh, yeah.
From the rooftop. Yeah. So what I want to hear you say is like, from podcast import, total immersion, carriage return, space, total immersion podcast dot rating equals 5, total immersion podcast dot save.
And for those of you who enjoy programming humor, that was for you.
That was for the one listener who I know does.
For the one listener who will get that.
Know who you are.
I think we're all fucked.
All right, we're fucked. Goodbye.
Goodbye.